Okay. We're on page 982. Pasuk Dalid. About midway, a little bit past midway. Okay, last time we were discussing that the mitzvah is called by the name of the one that finished it. Hashem tested you. We discussed the whole concept of tests. Hashem gave us the month. Now, yeah, you're right. Well, we have to discuss the concept of the month. Now, the month, when the month fell every day, there was dew that fell on top of it and dew that fell under it. Right? That's why one of the reasons why you cover the chalas, it's two reasons. One reason is not to embarrass the wine, because really you're supposed to make, not to embarrass the chal, I mean you're supposed to first make hamotzi, then yayin. But you have to make kiddush first because you can't eat before kiddush. So therefore we cover the chal as if to say it's not here. But another reason is brought down in halacha, why do we cover the mon? Why do we cover the chal? Because the chal represents the mon. And the mon was covered underneath with dew, and on top of it with dew. So therefore we cover the mon. Now it's explained in the Chassidus like this. The mon was very, very spiritual. The Rashba writes, and the Maripana writes, that the bracha they made on the mon was a meitzi lechem in Hashemayim. Okay? The mon was spiritual food. And we'll soon see about, we didn't really finish that pasuk, but vayancha vayarivecha, the pasuk said Hashem afflicted you and tortured you and he gave you the mon. What's the affliction of the mon? Because the mon, it says, never satisfied them physically. And not only that, the fact, there's a gemara that says that a person that has bread in his basket, mi sheyesh li pas besalo, is never hungry. It's like, we know, on a regular day, you won't eat breakfast until 9 o'clock, you're fine. But on a fast day, 8 o'clock, you're already hungry. Well, what's the reason? Because you know you can't eat. So the Gemara says a person that has bread in his basket is never hungry.
Indeed.
So the fact, and in fact, one of the reasons says, why did Hashem make the month fall every day? Could have fell once a month for the month, or once a year for the year. Huh? Not fresh. Hashem could have kept the month fresh also. The reason is because, and that's what one of the things, vayancha vayarivecha, the Pasuk says Hashem afflicted you, because the fact that they didn't know for sure the next day they're going to get the mon. The Jews didn't know for sure the next day. So they were always hungry. Because they didn't know if they're going to have the mon the next day. Okay, the fact is it fell every day, but you know, sometimes they could doubt that maybe Hashem's going to get angry and they'll stop the mon. So the mon was very, very special food. So it says like this, there's dew, tal, and there's rain. And the Gemara says like this, rain, we say in davening, in Shema, im shemaya tishmo al mitzvaysai, if you listen to my mitzvahs, then it says, v'nasati mitar artzichem, I'll give the rain, and you'll have a lot of rain. What happens, p'nyivta levasaitem v'avadetem l'akim b'cheirim v'chorav Hashem b'chem, God's going to get angry, v'otzer se'shemayim, He's going to hold back the heavens. There won't be rain. Or we know the whole Masechta Tainis talks about if rain didn't fall, so then the Jews proclaimed the fast day because they needed to do tshuva. Rain, therefore, we see clearly in Chumash, was dependent on the Jews. The Jews behaved, they got rain. They didn't behave, they didn't have rain. That's what we see. The Gemara says, Tal, lo ne'etzar. Do never stops. Under every circumstance, do falls. So it's explained why, what's the difference between rain, geshem, and tal, motor, and tal. So it's explained, rain comes from a level of kedusha, from godliness, where our avoida, where our work affects it. In other words, to use again the mashal that we use many, many times. Relationships, a lot of relationships are based on behavior. Friends. You behave, you're a friend. You know me, you're not a friend, okay? rain comes from that level of godliness that it depends on your behavior. Therefore, the Torah says, you behave, you do mitzvahs, you're going to get rain. You don't behave, you're not going to get rain. Tal, on the other hand, comes from a level of godliness that is so great that whether you do mitzvahs or you don't do mitzvahs doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Like we said in the Nimshel, the Moshel, that a child is not less child if they don't behave, and they're not more child if they do behave. A child is a child. There's something deeper above and beyond behavior. That's the level of Tal. And this explains, it's an interesting thing. The Gemara says, Tal sha'osid lahachiyez behamesim. The Torah speaks, Moshe says, by Matan Torah, when Hashem spoke to the Jews, so Rashi quotes, I'll call dibur v'dibur parcha nishmasim. Every word Hashem spoke, the neshamas left the body. And then it says, Rashi quotes, and he revived them b'tal t'chia, with the dew that Hashem's going to do t'chia sameisim with. That dew, Hashem resurrected the Jews b'shas matan Torah. He made them alive again. What does that mean? What does tal deal with t'chia sameisim? Like, Hashem's going to be mechaya the dead. He's going to make the dead wake up with dew. Like, what does this mean? But like we said before, tal comes from a level of godliness that is so great. Light and dark, good and bad, od and choshech, mitzvah, veda, miracle, nature, it's all the same. It comes from a very, very lofty level of godliness. The man, which came down from heaven, so it says, when the man came, what level of godliness was this? This was due on top of it, and do below it, tal. That means that level of godliness which was so great that it didn't matter what your behavior was, and underneath the meaning was completely surrounded from that level of kedusha, which shows that the man came from a very, very high level of godliness that it didn't matter if the Jews behaved or not, the man fell. And that's the concept of the connection between what?
Rabbi, in Shemon Esrei, why you pray for Tal? You shouldn't do that because the automatic is coming.
We're not asking, saying Tal Umatar. Yeah, we're asking Hashem, but you're right. It's discussed, by the way, why do we ask for Tal if Tal is coming anyway? Yeah. But the main thing is the Matar. You're saying Tal Umatar. So we're asking for both types of things.
Rain.
But Tal is a much deeper level of godliness, and that's where the Mon came from, that level. The Rebbe Marash said an interesting thing, that making a living today, parnasa, is like the man from heaven. Huh. Completely irrational, it doesn't make sense. People that are smart and do seemingly good deals go broke. Full stupid people, it's mazel. But it says, parnasa, nowadays, Rebbe Marash said, is exactly like the man from heaven. It doesn't make any sense how people, this person gets parnasa, this person doesn't, but whatever it is, it's mamish min hashemayim. And this is what the inyan of Vayachilcha es amon, that Hashem gave us the man to eat, and he afflicted us. What was the affliction? Because the Jews didn't have the man every day. I mean, they had to wait for it every day. Okay, let's continue. Pasuk Dalet. Simlascha leibalsa mi'alecha, another miracle that happened. You should know that your garments did not wear out upon you. V'daglecha leivatzeika, and your feet did not swell. Because don't forget, they walked in the desert barefoot. And you're walking on sand, and you know, your feet swell up. Zahabayim Shana, 40 years. So the Mefarshim asked an interesting question. So Rashi says, how did that happen? So the clouds, Rashi says, washed the clothing, dried the clothing, pressed the clothing, and not only that, the clothes grew with you. When you were a kid, you didn't have to go to the store every week.
Same color?
The
same color?
Yeah, maybe they dyed it a little bit. You let out a note at the night with the clouds to please starch, no starch.
Throw a marker once in a while inside.
Telemarketing, yeah. So this is the miracle that But it's interesting, the Mefarshim say, ask a question, Simlascha le balsa me alecha? It should have said alecha. What me alecha? Famanyu. So the Mefarshim say that only the clothes they wore didn't spoil. The clothes they had in their suitcase, those did spoil. The Torah says, Simlascha le balsa me alecha. The ones that you're wearing, those are the ones that didn't get spoiled. Let's see, Bagat Shayamun of Beteva, Hubala did get ruined. Hashem made a miracle, the clothes the Jews wore. And what?
Let me ask you, is this everything that you're saying, does it say it in the Torah or in the oral Torah, or is it the rabbis?
The rabbis are the oral Torah. No, it's all from the oral Torah.
It anywhere else.
This is from the oral Torah. Okay, now, the pasuk says like this. This is a very important pasuk. Yadaitim levavecha. You should know in your heart. Kasha yasha ish es b'nei. Just think of a father chastises his son. Hashem alekecha miyasreka. Hashem chastises you. Meaning, chastise means punishes you, tells you off, you know. It means like this. A child, if they're mature, understand when the parents discipline them, it's out of love. It's done out of love. Hashem is telling the Jewish people, listen, I know I made you suffer in the desert. You know, there are a lot of different things. But it's like a father and a child. It's done out of love. So you should never get angry at God for doing it, because Hashem says, I'm doing it for your benefit. I'm doing it because I want you to be better. And therefore, without being better, in order to be better, sometimes I have to punish you. Okay? And he says, it's not the father taking revenge from a son. Hashem says, I'm acting with you exactly what it is. And therefore, the Gemara says like this. The Gemara says, if somebody sees punishment is coming upon them, yifashvesh b'maisav, you should look into your actions. This is what the Gemara says. If somebody sees they're suffering, you need to look into your actions, because maybe God is hinting to you. God is hinting to you that there's something wrong in your behavior, and you need to make the behavior better. That's the way. It's like interesting. You know, the body, when you get fever, it's the body telling you. It's not the fever. It's the body telling you that there's something wrong in your system. Yeah, so the temperature is not what's wrong. The temperature is telling you that there is an infection.
Signal.
So, same thing, it says that when a person is punished by Hashem, they should know that Hashem is telling you something, that you need to do tshuva, to become better. In fact, the Gemara tells a lot of stories, in Meir Cotton, the Gemara tells a lot of stories about rabbis that were dying and they were suffering, and somebody asked, why am I getting the suffering? So they said, why don't you look into your actions? You know, and he said, tell me, do you know a sin that I did? And they told him that he did something once, a little, and his level is a little bit wrong. What?
Do we suppose to have a perfect life? Only with happiness, only with money, only with power, everything. This is the way that it should be?
No, that's not what
Hashem. Because we sin?
That's not what Hashem wants.
It's not so. Why you say that? Why you say
people
that
don't.
Is because you sin.
People don't grow.
Okay.
When everything is good.
I disagree with you, but when you say that, the Gemara said, if you have something happening to you, it's because you have.
No, sometimes you have to look into your actions.
But we have
and if not, no, and if you don't find something, ask somebody else to find it. They'll find it very easily. What?
How do you know how that works as far as, let's say, a person could have a cold. Is that suffering?
No.
You know what I'm saying?
We're what talking about substantial suffering.
Rabbi.
What?
This sentence, they show that God loves Jewish.
He does.
He does. How come they don't let him go to Israel?
Who?
Yeah, all of them they kill in desert. With this sentence shows so much attention to them, but they still they don't let them go there, and they punish them and they kill them.
Let me ask you a question. If God loves us so much, Yeah. Why, when we do certain sins, do we get killed?
What do you mean?
God's such a nice guy.
Sir.
He loves us so much. Sir. Okay, I did something wrong. Why are you killing me?
They do something mis-
because death gets rid of the evil that the person does or did.
Yeah, but once you're dead, you can't repent either.
Right, so Hashem wants us to repent before we die. The Mishnah in ethics says, do tshuva one day before you die. So what does that mean? Everybody says, because we don't know when we're going to die. You might die tomorrow, so every day you have to do tshuva.
You say that I do something to you because I like you, I want to make it straight. Okay?
Yeah.
So if...
So death is for the neshama.
I don't want to kill you. Means neshama, you, I don't want...
One second. What's the main part of the person? The neshama or the body?
Neshama.
Okay. If death of the body purifies the neshama,
it's good.
Okay. That's what death is all about. In Judaism, death is not an end. Death is a beginning of a neshama's life out of a body. Okay? Death is only the end of a physical life, which is anyway temporary. Even if you live 120 years, it's still temporary. Right? Neshama's eternal. So when a person dies, Chassidus teaches us, it's not an end. Like, if you don't believe in the other worlds, if you don't believe in Olam Haba, so death is end. That's it. It's over. Torah comes along and says, no. Death is only an end of the physical life, but the spiritual life begins a much greater level. So sometimes Hashem needs to kill us to clean the soul for what it did, or the mission of the person in life is done, or they did such a terrible thing that they don't allow themselves to continue their life, and that's it. But the pasuk is saying over here a very important thing. The Torah says, when God punishes us, it's out of love. Just like a father does it to the child. So a lot of time a child's little and the child's immature, so they hate the parents for doing it. When a child gets older and a little bit more mature, so then they understand that what the parent did was good. Okay. Shamartas mitzvah Hashem alekecha, pasuk vav. You have to keep, observe the mitzvahs of Hashem, lo'alechas bedrachov, to go in his way, in the way of Hashem, uli'ira eisei, and to fear him. Okay? Now, ki Hashem elokecha, because God, meviyacha l'eretz teva, is bringing you to a good land. Right. A land, l'eretz teva, or l'eretz nachli moyim, a land with streams of water, ayonis, underground water, zahemis, wells and underground waters, yeitzim babiko bahar, coming out in the valleys and in the mountains. Another, Hashem is bringing you to a very good land. So therefore, it says, the preparation and the purification for Jews to be able to come to this good land was sometimes the suffering in the desert. Just like the suffering in Egypt made the Jews a nation that they became able to receive the Torah, so the suffering in the desert, Hashem says, is to prepare you to go into Eretz Yisrael and to this holy land.
It looks like it's the system now. Everything that we, after Auschwitz, after the camps, we have Israel,
all a system.
It's the same system all the time.
Same system all the time. But every time the suffering makes us greater, then there's more suffering to make us even greater.
Okay, but we're going to stop one day?
It's called Mashiach. No, that's why the longest suffering ever, and the worst suffering of Jews, is the last 1900 years. Never the Jews suffered since Churban Bayis Sheni, right? Since the destruction of the Second Beis Hamikdash. Yeah. This is the longest, hardest, darkest. Mm-hmm. Why? Because the ultimate Mashiach is the ultimate level of purity and of greatness and holiness, physically and spiritually and everything. So therefore, the refining process takes longer. The filtering process takes longer.
In Egypt, we don't kill everything. It was only the beginning.
Yeah. Okay, this is a very important pasuk that we learn out a lot of laws from. Eretz chito se'eda, a land of wheat and barley, gefen, grapes, te'ena, figs, ferimen, and pomegranates, Eretz zeis shemen, a land flowing with olive oil, meaning olives, udvash and honey, but it doesn't mean honey. The Gemara says dvash that means dates. Okay? So this pasuk tells us what the shivis haminim are, the seven species that Eretz Yisrael is praised. And therefore we have a separate after bracha, alamichya for chito se'era.
First one.
And then gafet, all the other ones, we have aloeit valpriyoit. All other fruits to make a burn of fashas. Mm-hmm. So these five fruits of Eretz Yisrael, and the two wheat and barley, these are the things that which Eretz Yisrael teaches us. But it's interesting, this pasuk and the order of the pasuk teaches us a very interesting halacha. If I'm eating these various different fruits, okay, let's say I'm eating something out of wheat and something out of barley. Okay, do I make the brach on the wheat or should I make a brach on the barley?
Wheat. The first one is...
Okay, so the Gemara says like this. If you notice in the pasuk, because the pasuk says like this, chito usa'edo, wheat and eretz, the word eretz, chito so wheat and barley, gefen figs, grapes, tena figs, verim and pomegranate. Then the Torah says again, eretz. Zeit shemen udvash. Why is the sticking the word eretz in there? So they just continue. Zeit shemen udvash. This is a din of the order of the species of Eretz Yisrael. Okay. The one which is closest to the word eretz comes first.
Yes.
For instance, the first thing you make a bracha on is chito. Yeah. Wheat.
Comes from the ground first.
Yeah. No, but...
You just said it.
I know, but I'm saying then you have grapes. So what happens if somebody is eating, let's say, they have a fruit plate, and they have in front of them grapes, figs, and pomegranates, and olives.
Deed.
Which one do you make the bracha on first?
Grapes.
No. Olive. First,
the
olive.
Olive,
eris. Eris.
Figs.
Fruit that has a big inside.
Good. No. One second.
Figs.
Zaytun.
I mean, what's the other grapes?
Olives? No, look in the pasuk. Chito seira, gefen, grapes, teina, figs. Verim pomegranate. Yeah? Mm-hmm. So, from the word eretz, chita is first, right? Wheat is first, barley is second, grapes are third, figs are fourth, and pomegranate fifth.
Pomegranate.
Rimon. 1 second. Yeah. Then it says eretz, zei shemen advash. Okay? So the truth is, which fruit is closest to the word eretz? Olives. Zayit is the first after edit, the second edit, but it's still closer. So therefore, wheat and barley, for instance, I'll give an example. You're eating cake and drinking wine. Okay, so on cake you make a mezonos, and wine you make a ber piagof. What do you make a bracha first? On the cake or on the wine?
Wine.
Cake.
Why do you make on the cake first? Because chita is right next to eretz. Geffen is third. Geffen is number three. Right?
But it's wine, not grape.
It doesn't matter. Yeah, but the wine is still the same din as the geffen. That's why, like we said before, why do you cover the challah? Because really, challah should come before wine. During the week. Forget Shabbos. During the week, I'm eating bread, I'm having wine. So first you make a motzi. Why? Because it's closest to the word edits. Now, if somebody's eating grapes or olives, you're eating both. What bracha do you make the ha'etz on?
Zayit.
Why? Because zayit is first from the second edits. The same thing dates. Date is number two from edits, but grapes is number three from edits. Right? So the order of the fruits is olives, dates, grapes, figs, and pomegranates.
First.
from
I learn always if you're having a Tu Bishvat, right?
Yeah, the Tu Bishvat, yeah, they do the same.
So you
if you do it, you'd give Malalo, it's the same thing.
No, but you do, if you have to stop for Tu Bishvat,
right.
You do the fix, the bracha for the fix first, no?
No. It says olives first.
No, I'm talking about the fruits.
I'm talking.
Yeah, but the olives.
Figs comes after grapes.
So you make them...
If you have... Okay, Eretz Yisrael has seven things. Two is wheat and barley. Let's leave those two out.
Yeah.
Okay, so now you have five fruits that Eretz Yisrael prays with. Grapes, figs, pomegranates, olives, and dates.
Right.
Okay? So the order of those five is olives, dates, grapes, figs, pomegranate.
Olive,
why
so olive dates.
Comes before
because in the pasuk, gefen, then te'eno, then rimi. That's what the Gemara learns out from this pasuk. But the dvash does not refer to honey, it refers to dates. That when you leave dates in the sun, it oozes out like a sweet liquid, which is like honey.
Why? I have a question here.
What?
You know, olive is before the gefen, yes?
Yeah.
So, how come we don't cover the olive like a ibit, that chit?
It's covered everything.
If you're
I understand. It's a good question. Let me ask you a question. What happens if I have a plate of fruit, and on the fruit plate is like this: apples, pears, grapes, dates, figs, olives, peaches, plums, a whole big fruit plate. What do I make a bracha on first?
Olive.
No. What happens if I want to eat an apple?
Depending on what you like.
I want to eat an apple. I don't want to eat grapes and dates and figs. And
the one that you like.
The one that you like, you come first.
Why?
If you're eating all of them, so what's the best thing to make ha'etz on? So based on the order of the pasuk. But if I like pomegranates better than grapes, and there's grapes and pomegranates, and I want to eat pomegranates, I don't have to eat the grapes.
So why was it such a big dilemma for Bachman
to
come for marriage, that if you would make a mistake of choosing the right thing was a terrible test?
The Misnagdim once wanted to make to prove that Tzemach Tzedek didn't know how to learn. Okay? So one second, so he brought him a whole fruit plate, and they wanted to see what he's going to eat. So he took a fruit which was out of the order of everything. So he's, he said, what are you talking about? That's what I want to eat. I don't want to eat other things. I took the fruit I wanted to eat.
But
in other words, just because there's grapes on the table and apples, that doesn't mean I have to eat a grape. If I'm eating grapes and apples, so Halacha says grapes is one of the Shiva Saminim. So then it's proper to make a bracha on the... What happens if I like...
Honestly, when you have apple, you don't really have to take that one grape and make a bracha.
No. If I like the apple better,
yes.
I can make a bracha on the apple. That's what it says in Shulchan
Aruch. You're not obligated to make a bracha on the grape.
No.
How come?
If you're going to be eating grapes and apples, so then you're eating both. So make a bracha on the grape, because grape is more chashuv.
On Friday night, why you cover it? I don't like to eat the...
No, but you're eating the challah. What do you mean? You are eating the challah. You are going to eat the challah. And you're going to drink the wine. So then, the comes before gefen. So you should make the bracha and the challah first. Why don't we? Because we have no choice. You're not allowed to eat before Kiddush. But I'm eating both of them. If I'm eating both, then I should make a bracha on the one that I have first.
So you're not supposed to cover it for Friday night?
Yeah.
For
the challah?
No, for the olive.
No. Just the challah you cover. You don't have to.
So what you're suggesting then, if that's the case, you have a fruit basket of different things, you should really cover the whole thing and just...
No, you don't have to cover it. You take what you want, and that's what you make a bracha.
According according to him, you should cover everything.
No, that's what I'm saying. You don't have to. You take what you want. You make a bracha. If you're eating a bunch of different fruits, then you take the fruits, the five fruits before any other fruits. And in the five fruits itself, so the order, like we said, is olive, dates, grapes, figs, and pomegranate.
If you're supposed to eat the olive, you should cover it?
No.
Still not?
You don't need to cover anything.
Because at
question,
this...
How about Kiddush when you have mizonos? What's the difference between that and olive?
Because there's no difference.
So why don't we cover the mizonos?
First of all, a lot of people do. Some people hold it's only challah, not cake. That's machlokes. There's different opinions about that. Some people cover the challah.
Cover the cookies.
I mean the cookies or the cake. But what happens, by the way, during the week, let's say you're sitting by a farbrenga during the week, yeah? Hmm. And there's wine and there's the cake. Hmm. Yeah? What bracha do you make first? First you make a bracha on the cake, then you make a bracha on the wine. Yeah. Unless you're not planning to eat cake, then you make a brei pragofen first. But if you're sitting by farbrengen, not whiskey shako, but saying what happens if you have wine and cake and everything, or even wine and scotch, yeah? I mean, cake and scotch. Regular farbrengen, you have cake and vodka, yeah? So first you make a bracha on the cake, and then you make a bracha on the mashka.
End of the
what?
To be a little off topic, is a liquid like orange juice less important than mizonos? Like,
sure.
Is a liquid less important than a solid?
Yes. But over there, by the way, it's two different brachas.
Like oranges
and cake. But what happens if somebody is eating chicken and oranges?
Yeah.
What should they make the bracha on?
Chicken first.
It says in Halacha, you make a bracha on food, then the drink. Mm-hmm. Unless if you're not planning to eat the food. If you're planning just to drink, then you make a bracha on the drink. But if you're eating food and drink, by dinner, right? So you're having water and you're going to make a bracha on it and you have chicken or meat, yeah? You make a bracha first. What should you make the shaha kolan? The food or the drink? Halacha says you make it on the food. Food is more prominent than drink except wine.
But Rabbi, let's say you eat all kind of stuff and chicken you just finished, you're about to finish, you realize it didn't say shaha kolan.
So you make shaha kolan.
Just a little bite, it's okay?
Yeah.
You don't have to eat more.
Are you supposed to swallow it or just bite it?
Like, no, you have to. You're not allowed to talk until you swallow it.
Swallow. So it's like when you do blessing over the bread.
You have to finish the first bite and then
swallow it.
Right.
Swallow it before you can talk.
But on the question that you asked about the little bit of even to make a little bit.
Yeah.
But the person would have to make an after broth.
Correct.
Would include everything.
Correct. Okay. Edits. In fact, it's not for now. It's too complicated to get into. But the Mefarshim ask, why is there so many other fruits in Israel? You have Jaffa oranges. Yeah. I mean,
like, grapefruit.
Yeah, whatever. Why do they pick these five? And the Chita Seder. So it's interesting. These are all fruits that have certain amounts in the laws of purity and impurity.
What?
I could watch you back if you want. For instance, if a house has leprosy in it, okay, if a person, you know, and Hashem gives you a leprosy in the house, so then the amount of tumah has to do with 3 eggs of wheat bread. Sa'eda barley, that's the size of a dead bone making somebody tummy. Gefen is the amount of a nazir. A nazir is not allowed to eat grapes. Te'ena is if you carry a fig size of a fig. And Shabbos, that's called carrying. Pomegranate, if you want to make a hole in a keli, that there shouldn't be a keli. Let's say you have a vessel, right? And it's a keli, so that accepts tumah. But what happens if you want to make sure that it shouldn't be mekabel tumah? So you need to make a hole in it. What's the size of a hole? A pomegranate. Yeah. Or how much is eating on Yom Kippur? The size of a date. How much is a kezias? All the things you eat. How much matzah? How much, you know. So the Mefarshim explained all these fruits that the Torah is mentioning, the seven, have to do with basic laws of Torah of impurity and impurity or carrying on Shabbos or eating with brachas. So therefore the Torah picks these seven things about, even though it shows a lot of other fruits. Sabras. Right? As,
and there's also other measurements that aren't that, right? Like, isn't a beitza, a beitza, isn't an
etza? Yeah.
Can you qualify the beitza and zayit? Because I haven't heard
it. What do you mean, qualify?
The sign.
In practical, our language. A kazayis is an ounce, a bay is 2 ounces.
Rabbi, is there a connection between the fruit that the spies brought out?
They brought back, well, not all of them. They didn't bring all of them. They brought grapes, a fig, and a date. And a pomegranate, sorry. Fig and a pomegranate. But there are other, they didn't bring back wheat and barley. By the way, there's one opinion, the Medrash, that the Eitz Hadas that other magician ate from was a chita, was wheat.
They say grape?
Grapes, figs. Apple, by the way, is a goyish thing. That doesn't say anywhere in Torah. Maybe somewhere.
Is it a tree of wheat or a tree?
Before the Eitz Hadas, wheat was on a tree. And because that opinion, the Medrash that says that other magician ate the wheat, not the apple, it wasn't an apple, it was a wheat. Because of that, wheat was cursed that it became from the ground instead of being on the tree.
And also the grapes were on the tree also.
Yeah.
And the wheat at the time would just grow, eat it without preparation, just like fruit?
Yeah, at that time, before they ate the dust. But how long did that last?
The grape is more qualified than wheat, Rabbi.
Right.
So the grape is more qualified than wheat.
Like, was an esrog on the ground then now?
It wasn't an esrog.
I thought that was one of the opinions. No?
I remember. Okay, weiter. Eretz, Pasuk Tes. Eretz, it's a land. Ashaleba miskenus. You're not going to be eating bread with poverty. Okay? Oh, well, you'll eat bread without poverty. Nothing will be lacking in the land. Eretz, Ashavanel, Barzel. A land whose stones are from iron. And Me'arereh Tachsev Nechoshes, from your mountains you will mine copper. What is the Pasuk saying? If the Jews behave, and they go into Eretz Yisrael, there will be such an abundance, you'll never be poverty, there won't be any poverty. And like all the minerals of the world, they're going to have. They're going to have copper, they're going to have barzels and metal, they're going to have copper. In fact, the Mefarshim asks a question, why doesn't it mention gold and silver?
Why not?
And black gold.
Oil also, they mention oil. Oil is more important than oil.
Where is this? Huh? He asked a question, why doesn't...
Naft.
Oh, he says, why doesn't it praise the Pasuk that's going to have a lot of gold and silver in Eretz Yisrael? He said, those are luxuries, not necessities.
But oil. Oil is luxury? Or it's not luxury?
Oil? Moshe Rabbeinu made the wrong turn. he didn't have GPS. I got into Saudi Arabia instead of
that. Well, we have another Pasuk in Torah that says there's always going to be poverty. You should always help your friend in need because there's always going to be poverty in life.
So
when we don't listen?
When you don't listen. The Mefarshim asked that question. Sometimes it says there will never be poverty, and then it says there will always be poverty. The difference is if you listen or not. That's number one. Number two, even Hashem set up the world in the way of giver and receiver. Everything in the world, if you notice, everything in the world.
I don't know, I cannot touch the phone number somebody.
Sell high, buy low.
Stock market started.
The whole world, if you notice, from the time we're born until the time we die, every part of our life is giver and receiver. Okay? When a baby is born, the parents give, the child is receiving. They go to school, the teachers are teaching, the parents are receiving. When they get married, the male is the giver, the woman is the receiver. Then you have children, the parents are the givers, the children are receivers. Then, when you get really old, a lot of times the children give and the parents are the receivers. In making a living, you have the boss and the workers. The whole system of the world is given in a way of Mashpia Mekabel, because that's the way in Ruchnius it works. Hashem is Mashpia, and the world is Mekabel. Hashem is the giver, and the world is the receiver. So, the whole concept of poverty is, if everybody would be rich, there wouldn't be a concept of giver and receiver. And Hashem wants the world, because Ruchnius in the spiritual world is like that, so Hashem wants everything should be done in the way of giver and receiver. But it doesn't mean necessarily physical wealth, and it could mean, like the Gemara says, ein ani ela bedas, ve'ein asher ela bedas. Poverty and wealth is a state of mind.
That's true.
Okay, a person could be very wealthy having everything even though he's broke, and you could be very wealthy and you have nothing. So these are the
difference. The guy goes to sleep hungry. How can you say, well, I'm ashy, I'm not
ani? Asamech bechalko, what does the Mishnah say? Is that ashy? Who is rich? A person is happy with what they have.
It's the point that reality really does get hold.
Reality can live, but the reality is perceived the way we perceive it.
To some extent, no.
Not that to every extent.
Because he can't sleep because he's hungry, and he can't say, like, I'm
reading. Compared to others, he has. Compared to somebody who's very sick, this person is wealthy.
No. He couldn't sleep. He has a lot of money, couldn't sleep.
What's
different?
Two arms and two legs.
Yeah, I'm saying,
so
you know.
Out and get a job, but he doesn't. He's happy being.
Okay, so the Torah says like this: V'achalta v'savata. Oh, this passage is very good. V'achalta v'savata, you should eat and be full. V'beirachta Hashem alakacha, and you should bless Hashem. Ala arat teva shenosan loch, and the good land that Hashem is giving you. Now, what does this mean?
This is the only pasuk that we actually are commanded to make a blessing.
Well, no, there's one more bracha which is also biblical, and that's according to many opinions, Birchas HaTorah, the bracha before learning, which is also again an argument. But according to all opinions, when do you have to say benching, Birchat HaMazon? Yeah, biblically, it's V'yachalta V'savata. You have to be full. The Chachamim came along and they said, even if you eat a kazayas, an ounce, even if you're the size of an ounce, right, the size of an olive, even if you're not full, you also make an after bracha. But that's a rabbinic after bracha. If somebody eats and he's full, and by the way, the bracha, if you notice, is after you eat, not before. All the brachas, these blessings that we say on food,
after.
That's all rabbinic. The bracha before eating is all rabbinic.
Yeah.
Brachas before mitzvahs are all rabbinic. All brachas except birchat hamazon after you, v'achalta v'savata, then beirachta. The Torah doesn't say beirachta v'achalta v'savata. So all the din is that only birchas hamazon, by the way, is biblical.
How often we make all of the bracha and we don't make, I mean, we do the rabbinical and we don't do the
biblical.
Biblical.
By the way, it's interesting. The first three brachas, you know, benching, right? There's three brachas until Vnei Yerushalayim Erkeish Mevim Baradash. You have Azana Sakoil, Alar Zalamazin, Bein Yerachim Yerushalayim Amin. And then you have the fourth bracha. Yeah? Now, it says in the Gemara like this. When the man fell, Moshe Rabbeinu instituted the first bracha of benching. Hazanes ha'olam kula betuve baruchat Hashem hazanes ha'koil, that Moshe Rabbeinu made when the man fell. The second bracha, neid alocha al ha'aretz v'al ha'mazon, that Yeshua made, Yeshua ben Nun made when they conquered Yerushalayim. The third bracha, v'nei Yerushalayim erakedish b'merv yameinu, that David and Shlomo made when they built Yerushalayim. The first three brachas of benching are biblical. Now it's interesting, Sfardim do this more often than Ashkenazim, because Ashkenazim never answer Amen after their own bracha. But even by Sfardim they say, Amen. And many times they say Amen.
We have three only three Amen.
But Ashkenazim never say Amen after their own bracha, only after Vnei Yerushalayim Erakadim Mev Yameinu. Say, Bnei Verachma Yerushalayim Amen. By the way, in Halacha it says the Amen you're supposed to say quietly.
Yeah.
Okay? It says Amen quietly. But why do you say Amen then? Because we're making a separation between the first three brachas of benching, which are biblical, and the last bracha benching was added much later when the people that were killed, they brought the Mesi Beta to Kavura.
Beta?
Yeah, they brought him to burial, and the Ateva Meitav that they were allowed to be buried, and the bodies didn't decompose and smell. So then they instituted the fourth bracha, Hakel Avinu, Makeno Adreinu, Hakel Ateva, Meitav Lakel. That is a rabbinic bracha. So to differentiate between the three biblical brachas and the last bracha, which is rabbinic, so we say Amen, to make a break between the two. But the first bracha benching Moshe Rabbeinu made, the second bracha benching Yeshua ben Nun made, the third bracha benching David and Shlomo. But those three brachas are the biblical bracha Berachta Hashem Elokecha.
So,
Ishtabah
also, you
say Amen.
No,
end
you
of
do,
this,
we don't. Yeah. What?
Yeshua ben Nun was the one took over after
Moshe Rabbeinu. Yeshua. He's the one that conquered Eretz Yisrael.
Yeah, that's my son.
Yeah, your son conquered Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so this is the only biblical bracha according to all opinions, by the way. And that's after, again, v'chalta v'savata. In fact, the Gemara tells us, the Gemara says like this. The Gemara asks, Hashem, it says in the Torah that you're not allowed to take bribe. So it says, how come God favors the Jewish people? So the Goyim say, why, God, do you favor the Jewish people over everybody else? So Hashem answers, I tell them in the Torah only to make an after bracha when they're full. And they make an after bracha even when they eat a little piece, like the size of an olive. I shouldn't be biased to them. So Hashem says, because of this, the Jews are so careful to make brachas, to thank me for everything, therefore I take bribery from them.
Still, if you are not satisfied, it's not come.
That's when you're daven too long.
If you are not satisfied, you have to brachta?
Not biblically. If you eat a kazayis of cake,
you're not full, yeah, satisfied.
You don't biblically bench. Rabbinically, midrabban, you have a bracha achreina on a kazayis or revias. Biblically, it's only if you're full.
But if you wash, then you have to make a
Birkat HaMazon? Yeah, but what happens if you're not full?
You don't have to make a Birkat HaMazon.
You do, but it's only rabbinic.
It's not...
Biblical, the Torah says, V'yachalta, V'savata, then Berachta. Or those people that are too lazy to bench, they say Berachta with a ches instead of a chof. V'yachalta, V'savata, Berachta, run away. Eat, get full, and run away. Before you get the bill.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, something.
Shaina, did you hear that?
Yeah.
By the way, there's an interesting, Al Trebbe brings this down, Shulchan Aruch. There's a question, women have to bench. But there's a question if women are biblically obligated to bench or not. Yeah. They have to bench rabbinically. The question, are they biblically? Because in the land, it's in benching, it says, Al Eretz Chemda Torah, Shin Chazav Isenu, and women didn't get Nachla in Eretz Yisrael, just the men did. So the question is, but they have to bench for sure. The question is, biblical or rabbinic? But the bottom line is, they for sure have to bench. There's
it's
no way.
To make it.
They have to bench.
Yeah.
I offer the shortened version for women.
There is for kids in the siddur all the way at the beginning. Brich Rachman Al Kana. Malka the Omer, Mora the High Pita.
No, but seriously, for women.
Yeah, but we don't hold like that, and they have to bench the full benching.
Why
is it in Aramaic for the children?
Because that was the language they all spoke. Aramaic was the language they all spoke in those days.
In Babylon?
In Babel, they all spoke Aramaic. Why is the Gemara in Aramaic? Because that's the language they spoke. That was the language they understood. The Talmud Yerushalmi is in Hebrew. Talmud Bavli is in Aramaic because that's the language they spoke. There's many prayers that we say in davening which are in Aramaic. Because, or even when you nullify the chametz, why is it in Aramaic? Because that's the language everybody understood. Kaddish is the same thing. It's made in Aramaic because Kaddish was made initially for the orphans. There couldn't be chazan. So they say Kaddish in Aramaic. That's the text of Kaddish was in Aramaic because that's the language they spoke.
Also, they said for the Malachim, they don't understand.
Malachim don't understand Aramaic, so, but it has nothing to do with the Kaddish.
But
if you have a minion, you don't need the Malachim.
You can't count
them anyway. No, I'm saying they don't necessarily need them to bring up your tefillahs, because a minion Hashem listens to. Okay, Tapa 984. Yisham melecha, Hashem said, be careful. Pentishkach, Hashem melekecha, you're going to forget me. Levelti shmer mitzvesev mishpat, Hashem, Moshe Rabbeinu speaking, so he's speaking in third person. Be careful, Moshe Rabbeinu saying, I'm warning you, don't forget Hashem. Levilti, how do you forget Hashem? How do you forget God? So he says, Levilti, by not keeping mitzvesev, mishpatev, v'chukesev, the various mitzvahs of the Torah, asher nechi mitzavcha hayim, that I'm commanding you today. So how do you forget about God? By not keeping mitzvahs, obviously. If you keep mitzvahs, that means you're remembering Hashem. And he says like this, v'nteichav is bottom, lest you come into Eretz Yisrael, and you'll be eating and be full. And you're going to build. What he's saying over here is like this. Sometimes you're going to have it too good in the physical world, you're going to forget about God.
That's true.
It says, you're going to have a lot of cattle and sheep and goats. The chesed is of yirbalach, you'll have an abundance of so gold and silver. Anything you'll have, you're going to have abundance. What's going to happen? And then your heart's going to become haughty and you're going to forget God that took you out of Eretz Yisrael. They tell an interesting story. There was a Jew in Europe, I forgot his name, was a very, very big Baal Tzedakah. And he wasn't very wealthy. He was comfortable. He gave a tremendous amount of tzedakah and his house was always open. And his Rebbe, I forgot who it was, gave him a bracha that he should get very wealthy. Because he was such a good person. He gave a lot of tzedakah and his house was always open. He gave him a bracha to have a lot of money. But you know what happens? He got a lot of money. And then things changed. The butler didn't let you in. He was too busy to meet poor people. The whole thing changed. So word got back to his Rebbe that this person, who used to be a big Baal Tzedakah, now he has so much more money, he doesn't give anything. So the Rav said, it's my fault. I mean, I caused this. I have to fix it. So the Rav comes to the house, knocks on the door, the butler opens, go. He says, no, tell him it's me. He tells the landlord that his Rebbe is here. Oh, he comes running. Oh, Rebbe, Shalom Aleichem, brings him to the house. A beautiful living room, couches, and you know, all this stuff. So, the landlord says, the rich man says to his Rav, well, what do I do to have such an honor of you coming? He says, Yankala, come here. Takes him to the window. The window of the house. He says, Yankala, tell me what you see. He says, I see the poor tailor. I see this woman carrying the bags. I see, he told the Rav, everybody saw out the window. And then the Rav said, okay, come here. He takes him over to a mirror. And he says to him, what do you see now? He said, I see myself. What do you mean? I see myself. So his Rebbe said to him, I don't understand. This is glass, and this is glass. Why from this glass you see everybody in the street, and this glass You only see yourself. She says, Rebbe, come on. In the back of the mirror is silver. So therefore you don't see through it. It reflects you. So Rebbe said to him, oh, so when you have a lot of silver, that means you only see yourself. So what happens, and the Rav started going to the back of the mirror, he said, what happens if we scratch away a little bit of the silver, then maybe you'll see other people. He says, I got it, I got it, I got the point. And he became a changed person. Then sometimes, this is what the Pasuk says, sometimes you end up with a lot of kesef and zov, and you end up only seeing yourself, and you forget all about God, you forget about everything else. And he says, what happens? V'ram levavecha, you become haughty. V'shachachta seshem alakecha, okay? And you will forget God. Hametziyacha meretz mitzrayim mibeis avadim. You know, they tell an interesting story. It's getting late, but they tell an interesting story. There's a very poor man that became very, very wealthy. But one time a year, that he shouldn't be haughty, he would take out his old, torn, tattered clothing, and he would put it on for a day, for the whole family. And he said, I want to remember what I was. But the Galgal Acheza, the wheel of fortune turned. And by the way, that day that he put on the old clothes, it was a Yom Tov, and all the kids got excited. It was like a good comedy show, you know. He's wearing these old, broken, torn clothing. It was exciting. The kids were very excited. But one time, eventually, the wheel of fortune turned, and Itaka became poor. And then when he put on those clothing, it wasn't for fun. It was real. But he puts on the clothing. The kids are all excited. They don't know. It's a Yom Tov again, you know. So the father said to him, no, this time it's for real. That was all a show, the poor garments. But this is reality. Now this is the truth. So the Torah warns us, and this is, by the way, normal human nature. The Torah says, because a person can start thinking, I did this, it's me, and you start forgetting God. So even when a person has money, by the way, the Gemara says, the test of wealth, and everybody says, give me the test, but the test of wealth, the Gemara says, is more difficult than the test of poverty. And the proof of it is, when the Jews were tortured and they were afflicted, they remained strong in Yiddishkeit. And they come to a free country like America, where you have, they call the golden Medina. They said, that they told the people in Europe that in America there's gold, the streets are paved in gold. That's what they told them. And the golden Medina, people forget godliness. Because prosperity is something that actually causes a person to forget about Hashem. And the Torah warns us, carefully. You have to be very careful that you have to keep mitzvahs, because if not, then you're going to become haughty and you're going to forget the God that took you out there to be continued, and all these things. Yeah, that well.